everyone, and welcome back to another amazing Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. Today, we are heading to the screen with a wonderful, wonderful film. And joining us to talk about this, we have the writer and producer, Kathleen O'Neill. Her new work, My Mother Es Mi Madre, is currently in the development phase. They are working to fund this film, this production. And we can't wait to learn more about this. The story is fabulous. So with that, let us go ahead and welcome on our guest, Kathleen. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I'm very excited. I'm love talking about my show, and you're a delight. So this is a good combination.
Oh, thank you for that. I'm so excited you're here, and I can't wait to talk about this film that you've written, My Mother Es Mi Madre. Could we start by having you tell us a little bit about what the show is about?
Yeah, the show is about a young woman who at the age of 30 finds out that she's adopted, and she comes from a large Irish Catholic family. She feels totally lost. She finds her birth family in Colombia and goes to them and is immediately followed by her adoptive family who have come to reclaim her. And it's the story of the two families working it out and coming together.
That is so wonderful. And so fascinating too. So where did you get the inspiration to write this story?
I wrote the story because there's a lot of adoption in my family and with nobody interested. And then a good friend of mine told me the story of a woman at her gym who was talking about she was adopted and she was going to take her best friend and go to Argentina and find the family. And I thought, none of my nieces and nephews are interested in that. I wonder what's going on there. So I started researching and found a wealth of stories, just amazing. And, you know, we're storytellers, so we get hooked on this stuff. And then I realized that so many of the stories about adoption are kind of like His, Mine, and Ours, the rom-coms. But what about a story that really addresses the issue and that isn't terrible? Because some stories, you know, families have shadows. Families have issues. And as we all know, it's a wealth of stories. And that's what brought me to it. I really wanted to explore that and have people talk about it.
Yeah, that is marvelous. I love that. So as I mentioned in the intro, I mean, the film is in the developmental stage. You know, you are seeking funders to help create this piece. What has it been like developing the film so far, from writing the script all the way up to now in the fundraising stage?
It's been fabulous. It's been absolutely fabulous. Because the story intrigues me so much and I have a deep connection to it, I think that's one of the things that just, I would wake up every day and couldn't wait to write. And then I went to Colombia, to Medellin, Colombia. And that was in 2020. And I fell in love with the place and I knew that that was the setting. That was the place for the story. And the other thing that pushed me once I was there is I realized, given my history, that I also was sick and tired of the way Colombia was being presented in films. And I love the people of Colombia. And so that's what I wanted to do. So I set it there. And the writing the script and editing, it's still editing because a script is a living document until somebody says, cut, done, finished, through. And so while I've been editing, I also have been researching how do you make a film in Colombia? What's the business of it? And last year, I got connected to several people, and one of the women was most generous with me, and I had a good conversation with her and said, what should I do now? And she said, you've got to come to BAM. Well, BAM is the arts festival that's held in Bogota, and that's where you meet people. That's where I met people. So I went, and it was I love to travel to begin with. So this obviously felt, you know, really fed my travel bug. And I hadn't been to Bogota in years. And I met some of the most interesting people. And yes, the language was a challenge, but I stumbled along and it really helped. It put me at another level with the film. Now this year's been slow because this year I have a lot of marketing done. I have the website's up. I've got the LLC. I've got all that kind of stuff around it. What I don't have is the investors, and that's what starts now, you know? And so that's what 2024 has been about. And I went to Jake and said, help. And Jake is helping.
That is amazing. Wow. What a journey. This piece is already, this is amazing.
It's a good journey. It's a good journey.
So with this fabulous tale that, I mean, in a way is very personal for you with adoption being so present in your life, what is the message or thought you hope that audiences will take away from this piece?
I'm hoping that people will take away a new understanding of family and what it means. I'm hoping that people will understand that sometimes a lie can have good consequences, that sometimes what we perceive as lies are really protective devices. I'm hoping that people stop having to have hard answers and know that human relationships are liquid. You know, we come together, we need to care for one another. And adoption is a very special kind of love. And it doesn't diminish the birth parents, and it doesn't diminish the adoption, and it doesn't diminish, a person isn't less because they're adopted. So those are some of the themes I have worked on.
I love those ideas. Those are beautiful ideas. And they lead to my final question for this first part, which is, who are you hoping have access to My Mother Es Mi Madre?
I'm hoping that it really appeals in kind of the rom-com audience or the dramedy audience, depending upon how you want to put it. And so I think that people in their 30s and 40s are going to be attracted to it. I think it will probably get labeled, as a chick flick, which I hate that term. And I'm hoping that the way I'm marketing is about something being torn asunder that then comes back together and in a relationship. And I think that's going to have appeal. I mean, there are several people want happy movies lately. And this isn't happy, but it is open. It isn't about disaster. It isn't about hatred. It isn't about destruction. It's about avoiding all of that. And possibilities, you know, it opens possibilities.
Second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners the chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pick your brain, if you will. And I would love to start with our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? And typically we ask, you know, what playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites. But I want to add on to that, since we are talking film, and ask, you know, what about film? What or who in film also inspires you?
Wow. I should be prepared for this question, but in a way, it's kind of overwhelming because there isn't any special genre that impresses me. What impresses me is the story, whether it's a king who stutters, or a child who's lost, or a great catastrophe, or it's good writing that gets me too. I really like good writing, and that's why I think I like a lot of the classics. I think of something in theater like Blackbird, You know, there are very difficult themes, but when it's beautifully written, whoa! I think Next to Normal, a musical, Pillow Man, and then you go all the way to Anne Juliet, right? And I'm impressed and touched by so many things. And when I'm touched, which the film that just won the Academy Award, thank you, about the guy who did the bomb, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer touched me. And Oppenheimer touched me because it wasn't about the bomb. It was about Oppenheimer and the consequences and what we do to people who challenge what we need, what certain elements need to be the truth. And I thought that was done beautifully, really well done. And there's, you know, I went to see the opera the other day, and it was Orpheus and Eurydice. It was gorgeous. It was just gorgeous. And it was only 90 minutes. You know, usually when I go to opera, I get ready for a 3-hour session. So I find inspiration from all over. Like, it was my nieces and nephews that inspired me to write the story. It comes from sitting at a cafe and listening, which I do a lot, to other people's conversations, you know. Or do you ever sit outside or in the park and just watch people go by and make up different stories about them? Yes. I love doing that. So yeah, I have a lot of different sources, a lot. And things I don't like inspire me as well. Or like, I had directed a certain piece and then I saw it on Broadway and I totally disagreed with that choice. And then I had to figure out why. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. And I really like that challenge. So it's easy for me to bubble about things that I like. But what about the things I don't like, and what are they teaching me, and why don't I like them? Because every artist is valid.
I love that answer. I love that list. That is so wonderful. Yes. Let me ask you, what is your favorite part about working in the arts?
Oh, the people, the collaboration, the camaraderie. It's like, you know, you get married and you never get divorced. You just keep adding marriages. And the other thing, and we said this a little bit earlier, it's this bringing nothing to something to life. It's taking words on a page, or you get a script and you literally bring it to life. And yeah, people outside of the industry don't understand what goes in to making it. And that's fine. They shouldn't. They should come and they should enjoy. Too many shoulds in that sense. But to work with a group of collaborators who take a vision, who take their thoughts, who take their areas of expertise, and we all get together and create this thing, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. That's the difference between theater and film for me. Theater is different every night. And once it's done, it's gone. It's gone. And film is in a can. No, excuse me, it's not in a can anymore. But it is. I mean, I guess I could say it's in a can. You know, it's set. Even if there are two versions, the director's version and the commercial version. And theater's not like that. Every night, those people get up on that stage and make life. And we give them the gift of our attention, I hope. And they give us the gift of creativity and the gift of possibility. That's what works.
I love that. I love that. That's such a great answer. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
My favorite memory is being in my Sunday best, sitting in a theater, and the lights went down, and the show happened, and I wanted to be in that world. That's where I wanted to be. I didn't want to be anywhere else. I wanted to be in that world. And, you know, then time goes by. When I saw Pillow Man, scared me. That was one of the scariest theater pieces and really impressed me. Next to Normal, I sobbed my heart out. I just thought I didn't know she supposedly had this, you know, disease. I thought she was a grieving mother. And why people have to think she has something else. No, she's a grieving mother. That's what she is. And then have you seen theater around the world? I mean, like, have you gone to other countries and seen their theater?
Yes, I've seen theater over in the West End and London and whatnot. Yes.
And I was in India and went to theater. And it's, again, it's the same storytelling. I didn't have to understand the words. They were doing everything with their bodies and their form. And I knew exactly what was going on. The mask work was incredible. So I am filled with theater memories, filled with it. I'm full of it. I've been told that too.
I love those. Those are fantastic memories. Thank you so much for sharing those. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, are there any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline for you that we might be able to plug?
I've got a lot of stuff in the pipeline. Well, I don't know if it's a lot by others' definition, but I've got another film that takes place. It's about a judge who has to confront her xenophobia. I've got a TV series about a woman's shelter, and I've got 3 seasons plotted out. And it is about where we are today in season 1. Season 2 is about, oh gosh, that was a bad thing. Insert whatever words you want to think there. And season 3 is about recovery, possibilities, solutions. And it's out of that the stage play I'm writing is coming.
That's incredible. So some really amazing projects that we need to stay tuned for. We need to keep tabs on, because this all sounds amazing. And that leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about My Mother Es Mi Madre, or they'd like to help fund the piece, or they maybe want more about you, they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Well, I'm on Instagram, and I have a website, KathleenAO'Neill.com.
Kathleen, thank you so much for taking the time to speak.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you for sharing this amazing film and just all your insight. I could talk to you for days. This has been so wonderful. So thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
My guest today has been the incredible writer and producer, Kathleen O'Neill, who has a new film, My Mother Es Mi Madre, and it's currently in the development stage. They're looking for funders to get the film up on its feet and get it created. So if you are in a position to make that happen, head on over to her website, KathleenAO'Neill.com. Let's get this incredible story made and told and shared. It's a brilliant piece. We also have some other contact information for Kathleen that we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But like I said, head to our website, KathleenAO'Neill.com. Give if you can, or just check out all the amazing things that she's got going on. This is a wonderful artist you are going to want to keep tabs on. So again, this amazing artist, Kathleen O'Neill, has a film that they are looking to have made, and it's entitled My Mother Es Mi Madre. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage. Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar, and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you. Where I don't care.